We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the Five Hole, Faxes from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast, or bi-weekly, as it is at the moment. I am the increasingly woozy Sam Fells, your host, formerly of Deadspin, formerly of that site. You can find me on Twitter, at FellsGate. We've got a
formerly
lot
of this mortal coil.
Formerly of this mortal coil. We're going to try and rip through it all. Our buddy John, he's got things, buddy. So we're going to try and get it all in before he's got to exit stage right. So, of course, we're in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Starting with, he is Dr. Viral. He's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business. And he hates horny people and he hates kinks. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Rest in piss, Uncle Julio.
You can find Slack on Twitter and Blue Sky at Torque Punderloin. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He is our technical supervisor and our supervising technician. He's Matt McClure.
Andrew, they literally just opened another Uncle Julio's up in your formative area up around the Hawthorne Mall. So we're remembering some malls and we're
back to remembering some malls.
That place sucks.
Yeah, it's horrible. No damn good. No damn good whatsoever.
Ugh. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt_McClure_. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park. And he has a Wales flag outside his house at the moment. He's Fifth Feather John.
It's actually been taken down, the Wales
flag. Oh, it's taken down after yesterday, after my criticisms? Yeah, yes. That's fair.
They lost to Poland, didn't they?
They did.
Also, we had Wales
just
shame,
like his dog Greek team.
Yeah. We're not talking about that. That's not.
Did they lose to Georgia?
No. You already threw me off track. Hey, I knew what I wanted to say. I knew what I wanted to say when I came on here.
Opa.
We don't have time for maybe ironic, maybe not inter-Balkan racism tonight. You're up against it, John.
That was International Soccer Corner.
You can't be racist against white Europeans. It's just not. It's not possible.
Yeah, but John's already admitted that the Greeks are only barely white.
Yes, and according to my nephew, he says he's not Greek. He's white. So there you go.
Okay. Wow. I'm 51% Ashkenazi, not white either.
That could be a bad path to be on, but we'll let him have it for now. You can find John on all the sites at Fifth Feather. All right, so it's been a while since we've done this. We haven't done this since Justin Fields got traded, correct?
Sky Point.
Hey. Indeed, yep.
So we missed out on all the Michigas and all the reaction.
Probably
for the best, but we can take the long view because we like to sit back and let things simmer and then settle down. So here's where I'm at, and you guys tell me. I have 2 points, and that's where I'm at, and you tell me you're in a similar place. After reading everything, Slack, I'm just going to start with you.
Sure.
What is the worst case scenario here?
For the season draft?
Yeah. For the season.
So we're saying worst case scenario, assuming they draft Caleb Williams number one.
I don't think we have to assume anymore.
No,
think,
we don't.
Well, they but RG3 has other ideas for...
Yeah, well, and really... You know, he is the goal. He's the goal line assassin of football and an oracle.
Worst case scenario, honestly, it's the floor is high. I feel like, and I feel stupid saying that. It's just
If I sit here and say the worst case scenario is that Fields usurps the starting job in Pittsburgh by week four and balls out, and Caleb Williams is bad. That's the worst case scenario, right? Absolute worst case scenario.
Well, and then Flus and Shane are fired immediately, though.
Yeah.
By the end of this year.
I don't see a scenario where Fields is somehow different than the guy he's been. I'm sorry. I realize that's sacrilege to us 5 months ago or whatever, but I just don't get all the Pittsburgh ass slapping that's going on in the media.
We never get the Pittsburgh ass slapping.
They picked up two guys who haven't really done all that much. And I'm being nice by saying that.
In the past 2 years. I mean, Russ
correct.
Does have
yes,
a resume,
obviously,
but...
yeah. But he's cooked. He's laying on the hibachi every night.
Let Russ be cooked.
Yes, he sleeps on the big green egg every night. I don't want to talk about Pittsburgh anymore. I'm sorry. I don't know why.
Okay.
I'm now imagining Russ's face like Kramer superimposed on the chicken.
A little bird.
Well, here's the thing, Slack. Here's hold on, what I want to get to.
The lowest, the worst outcome is Caleb Williams getting injured. Put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's football.
Right.
You know. The worst case scenario that I laid out is not going to happen.
No, it's not.
And it's going. It's not. I'll get to my second point. The worst case is just, it's such a remote possibility that it doesn't scare me. I understand. I'm a Chicago sports fan. I know how these trades can go bad in every sport. I've seen it too many times. It's just not on the menu here, which gets to my second point. I think it's fair to say that both Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, they love Justin Fields. I don't think they were
as a man.
They told him that to his face. I mean,
they loved him on the field. They saw his potential. I think one of the main reason Eberflus fired that moron Getsy is like, why can't you produce the guy I would be terrified of designing a defensive game plan for? They love him. So how much must they love Caleb Williams to be like, yeah, we're good with trading this guy because we like this guy.
Well, part of it is the whole cap and contract logic.
Absolutely, for sure.
But and self-preservation, for sure.
I don't think that's the main driver here. It's part of it. It's part of the equation.
It's part of the equation. It's certainly a tiebreaker if they think Justin's potential versus Caleb's potential is equal.
Right. But even in that, is worth getting excited about.
I just don't see. I think it's pretty obvious that there's no way they're better by keeping Justin Fields based on what they've seen and the possible returns that they could have gotten, which they obviously didn't get much.
Right. Talk about
what they could have gotten for the one versus what they're getting in the draft pick just probably doesn't even come close. And that's right.
And
that's,
I think that's breaking some brains too.
For sure.
But if you're someone who's excited about Justin Fields, and we all were, at least at one point or still are, this organization, we don't trust 100%, but they're in charge, and they're saying, look, we think, worse off, we're going to have the same guy, but way cheaper that will allow us to change the roster in so many ways. Which they've already done.
Which, again, is a motherfucker considering what Justin was dealing with the last 2 years.
But I hate that gets attributed to Poles because that's not his fault. He came in Ryan Pace's bullshit.
He had to turn it down.
It's all bad timing, but I'm still not convinced after everything we've been through, especially after the last game of the last season. I just don't think he's capable of putting it all together at all, anywhere.
I don't think it was ever going to happen here. He might be able to somewhere, but
maybe. But
he might have a Geno Smith late Renaissance.
Well, I don't buy into the location matters.
Not the location. Like the situation. Here, as in the overall environment, the context in which you live and which we all exist.
Right, but Kamala, with a new coach, a new offensive coordinator. Maybe he could have put it together. Maybe he won't. They just think there's a higher possibility this new guy will. And that's great. That's fine. I'm here for it. I paint my nails pink, too, sometimes. It's all good. So I don't buy into that. Well, it just wouldn't work in Chicago. The right situation is just the players around you, the coaches around you. If you think it'll work out for him in Pittsburgh, great. We think it'll work out for him here, being Caleb Williams. I would have liked more in return. I think I've reiterated this. I think it's perfectly acceptable for people to be like sad that it didn't work out with Justin Fields because it probably should have here, while also being excited about Caleb Williams. And this is only a discussion because the Bears have the number one pick. The Bears have the number two
pick.
That's
right. That's exactly right.
My suspicion is that Justin Fields would still be here.
And it'd be Marvin Harrison here with him.
Works for me.
Well, that's exactly right, though, Sam. That's the biggest point. It's like this isn't happening because
it's a very unique circumstance.
Don't like Justin Fields. They got the number one pick, and there's a guy who's potentially way fucking better. So and cheaper. It just lines up perfectly with what they're trying to do. So I mean, if you're still mad or if you're mad at all, then I don't know what you want. Honestly, I don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's just it's,
go watch the Steelers. That go for it. You can do that now. They've got all the
You're more than welcome.
They were Saints fans in the early aughts. Those same people,
probably. It's such a unique situation for a team to be in this spot and to have the number one pick that they didn't earn by losing.
Right.
You know, they earned by making
they earned
a trade.
By pulling the Panthers' pants down in front of their dad right. and kicking them in the ass.
So I it's taken time. Everyone's listened to this podcast. I know what I was saying in week 8 and week 12 and after the season. But I'm here and it's just like, it's hard not to get excited about having this unique situation and the Bears taking advantage of it.
Well, I'm of two minds. Before I let everybody else talk, I'm of two minds. I'm excited. But I still told myself before this was all cemented and the trade happened and everything else that no matter what, I don't want to get into preseason, watch him throw a 50-yard dime to DJ Moore on the first drive and go, oh, we're going to fucking win it all because that happened in the preseason this year. That's happened with Mitch Trubisky. I am going to.
You're absolutely going to.
Just like Mark Grody ordered up.
I'm just going to be
like, it was supposed to be a harbinger.
Slack, the point of this podcast, the point of being these fans that we are, is
point of being alive
is to be stupid about it. Like, right? Who being guarded so you can eventually say to someone you were right?
No,
fuck that. Like,
not to say I was right.
And we love being right around here. Make no fucking mistake.
We love being right, but you know what? I'm starting to embrace being wrong.
Well, we're awfully good at being wrong.
We're good at that, too.
So
the Hawks need to claim Mike Commodore on return waivers.
Petri Contiola is the answer to all of the 2009 Hawks problems.
To be fair, like, Sleck was on that right away, calling bullshit on that. And then he went to went to skating school in Toronto.
That's
John,
right.
You're awfully quiet.
I was listening. You know, Andrew's been fired up for a while, so, you know, I'm trying not to get in his way. But, you know, I think the thing that I found most interesting about it is that essentially every other team in the NFL saw Fields as a backup.
Yeah.
You know,
well, they outweighted the market and the Kirk paper changed the calculus on a lot of things.
Well, sure. But I mean, still, I mean, every team that was interested in him was seeing him as a backup. And I think, you know, I think part of that was they were saying that just to lower the price on him. I think they probably maybe see a little bit more potential than that. But at this point, when he was acquired, every team that was in the mix, he wasn't in the mix for a starting gig anywhere.
No.
To me, that was what I found most interesting about it. I don't understand why people were getting mad at polls. Thinking that he overplayed his hand or anything like that. I mean, he played the hand that he had. I mean,
and
like
apparently,
Matt said,
and apparently, he had multiple offers on the table, and they said they apparently went to him and said, "Justin, these are the ones that we're considering. Where would work best for you?"
Right. And
that can go. That plays well long term with
other
guys.
Yes, it does. I would hope so. Although it won't stop Brisker from complaining on Twitter.
No. No, but that's what he does.
Did he? So was he complaining?
Get your mouth shut.
He was bitching about something today. Out of something stupid. I don't know.
He'll probably stop bitching as soon as Caleb starts scorching passes over his head.
Yeah.
Some guy running free in training camp. He'll probably stop complaining then.
Hopefully.
I don't know. I'm not a friend of the program, but a guy I like on Twitter, Luis, who does Bears Nation for the Bears.
Yep.
Seems to be a pretty good guy. I think he had a tweet.
He's no Jake Baby.
He's no Jake Baby. I thought summed it up pretty well, which is like, I feel like the two most controversial things I've ever said on Twitter are A, I don't think Justin Fields is as bad as some people think, and B, I don't think he's as good as some people think. And that's like, yeah, that's it right there. Like, the debate got so polar that if you try to just be in the middle about it, everyone yelled at you, including me. But, you know, I'm trying to learn.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. And like Andrew said, he's not our problem anymore. So we don't even have
it's not.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not.
People will try and make it our problem, but that's not how it's going to
work. Yeah, we'll still be doing a referendum on every single
Well, the person that Well, the person that'll try to make it our problem usually goes into hiding between May and September anyway. So
it's one of those things where, you know, every time he has a good game, it's like, oh, you fucked up. He had good games here. That's not the problem. Right. It's not that he's incapable of having a good game. It's
you got to string them together.
The I watched ESPN. So I'm really bored at work right now. And
apparently.
I'll take my computer out in the living room and like
you're gonna give yourself an embolism watching this shit, Andrew.
I'll move the mouse like every 15 minutes or something. But I put it on because they were doing NFL coverage, breathless wall to wall NFL coverage in the middle of playoff pushes in basketball and hockey and the NCAA tournament. They are talking about the NFL for an hour straight. It's not on NFL Live, the morning show, Get Up or whatever it's called. Just an insane network. They don't even broadcast their games. I don't understand what. Anyway, since it's a daily referendum without daily activity, it's just going to get so bad so fast. And the other sort of variable in this Caleb Williams thing is that our media is historically fucking stupid that covers football. They're the dumbest people with the stupidest opinions, and they're going to try and ruin this for us no matter what. Well, which I'm really not looking forward to. I understand.
And this is why we're the best Bears podcast in town.
Absolutely. It's going to get worse. Like, I'll tell you how it's going to get worse. Because you have the best quarterback prospect in years coming to the most ballyhooed quarterback clueless organization in NFL history.
It's almost the ultimate. Real quick pause. What were the Chiefs? Before Mahomes,
they had not had a. They had not what? Right. Either had they had not won a single game, led by a quarterback that they had drafted since Todd Blackledge.
Exactly.
Well, and they hadn't won a playoff game since 1993.
Exactly. Right.
You're
so
not
anyway.
Wrong, Slack. You're not wrong.
Go on.
But
sorry.
You know that the national spotlight is going to be on Caleb and the Bears all season.
Like, yep.
Normally the Bears start to suck and everyone can kind of let us just shuffle off to our corner to piss on ourselves.
Yep.
That's not going to happen. Like,
no, it's not.
John and I were talking about this last night, pre-show meeting at the United Center last night. They're going to get more primetime games than they should because of Caleb Williams. They're going to be on NFL Live.
You have to. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, absolutely. But it's going to be a season long thing. Every pass is going to be dissected, not just here. But the nation around.
The take and economy.
And when Russell Wilson shits the bed immediately, they'll be doing it comparing him to Fields every game too.
Absolutely. And that's why we're here. We're gonna sift through it all for you.
Boy, this is gonna be one hell of a season, isn't it?
Right. But what was it John said last night? Come on, this is the only thing going.
Yeah, that's right. It's our final frontier.
It's our final frontier. Everything
it really
else,
is. It's very
as a sports
true.
Fan, I've seen, I've accomplished a Bears Super Bowl is the last thing because I don't remember 1985.
It's it's exciting because everything's different if they win a Super Bowl. I will be so calm.
I mean, I don't believe that, but
it's happened with all the other teams though. It's happened with the Hawks and the Cubs. Like I'm not as
and we're not complete psycho ass wipes like Philly where they're still insane after. No.
Right.
They somehow have gotten worse.
Yeah.
Now they're pretty consistent. Thing, yeah.
They're pretty consistent in how bad they are. So I'll give them credit there.
All right.
Exciting.
It is. And
they're playing the Hall of Fame game.
Are they?
Yeah, versus Houston.
Oh, wow.
So Brad, four preseason games?
Brad Biggs is going to be jacking his little thumb.
The CJ Stroud.
Stroud versus Caleb. Let's go. Yeah. That's fun.
For a series.
For maybe. One series, right.
I really enjoyed having
three.
I wouldn't play Caleb
games.
One
I don't
second.
Want to go back.
No.
Well, the Hall of Fame game doesn't matter. That's like a glorified practice. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
On a bad field.
And we'll be watching the whole thing.
Oh, well,
I won't watch 1 second of it.
But there,
oh,
but
come on.
But Mongo and Devin.
Yes,
they'll be paraded around.
Great.
I
don't think McMichael will be. I don't need to see them in their coats or whatever. I don't need to see the speeches. I don't care. The knowledge that they're in is good enough for me.
No road trip to Canton for Sam.
Right. I'm like my father in my college graduation. I don't need to see it to bask in it.
That's what it was for. I skipped mine too. I didn't care.
So
send
all right.
Paper.
Well,
speaking of college graduations. Little Illini corner for Andrew and myself.
What would you like to discuss, John?
No, there's nothing to discuss.
They're going to lose tomorrow is what's going right. to happen. Yeah.
Yep.
It's no
I've
question.
I've seen this too many times.
No question.
Yep.
But I did say out loud to multiple people, as long as they get to the second weekend, I don't care what happens after that. And I still kind of feel that way. I want them to win, but just don't embarrass me for like one weekend, and they made it. So thank you.
Isn't it an exception?
Well, I mean, isn't it also just inherently embarrassing that like they've got, you know, a credibly accused rapist as the star? Or are we not thinking about that?
We're not thinking about it.
We're not thinking
about it. The one thing, Andrew, that I'll say is that in the Underwood era, which, you know, makes me want to vomit.
Oh, really? You're one of those guys?
What? I don't trust him.
Okay.
Whenever they face a really good defensive team, they always get mooned. And,
yeah, I think that's
Iowa State, I believe, is the best defensive team in the country.
You're correct. Yeah, yeah, it's a little scary. That's what I'm
they
expecting
get mooned.
It to. Yeah. I'm expecting it to be a slog.
Yeah, when they played Baylor, Sam, they got a couple years ago, they got destroyed. Oh. When they played Loyola, they got destroyed. When they played Marquette,
a banner day for that for the program.
Yeah, when they played Marquette earlier this year, they got mooned on their home court. So whenever they play a really good defensive team, they always struggle with Underwood. So that's why I have zero trust going into tomorrow.
So you're saying he's gotten no ideas.
My hot take is that maybe 20-plus wins, some good recruits, top three in the Big Ten is probably a pretty good place to be consistently. And if there's deficiencies in the coach's ability to coach, I'll take this.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good for Illinois.
I remember a time when Illinois aspired for that slack.
Correct.
Like,
well,
Big
between
Ten
the
power.
Between the big run to the title game and – post Weber, it was a wasteland. It was horrible.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole Bill Self experience kind of diluted Illini Nation into believing that they were a destination and not a rung on the ladder.
Correct. You're 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the other thing I was going to add is I'm coming out of my college basketball hibernation over the last couple years. The one thing that I've noticed is that there's really no prestigious coaches that have been at the same university for 50 fucking years, or somebody that you just expect, other than like Tom Izzo. I think he's like the last of that like generation. Otherwise, and Calipari sort of, but he's bounced around
really.
A lot
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's bounced around. Yeah.
And now they want his head.
Oh, they hate him. They hate him. Yeah.
Good. They should. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of the thing is like
he's making a lot of young men a lot of money though.
They show some of these coaches, and I've never fucking heard of half of these guys. Nate Oates.
Who the hell is he?
You're a made-up person.
You don't exist.
Yeah.
It's Quaker's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He might as well be a fucking Sharks AHL call-up with that kind of name.
Anyways, that was my Illini Corner thought.
Illini Corner.
Share with Andrew.
Very good.
Well, as referenced earlier, John made his maiden voyage to the good ship Bedard last night. And Slack, you'll be happy to know that John has picked up your skill to sit in front of the worst person at a hockey game. Maybe it's me.
I think they were Greek too, because I heard some phrases being shouted behind me.
Malaka.
They definitely wanted everyone to know how much they knew about every player when they didn't know anything about anybody. Like you don't know anything about Prospisil. You don't. I'm sorry. No one does. Not even Calgary Flames fans.
Isn't he a tennis player?
Right. Flume didn't even know they were playing. That's how much Flume.
And I believe him. I believe him.
I believe him too. But John, you have notes. You have a yellow pad from your first live viewing of the
in quite some time, in about 4 years. I will say the pregame, the fanfare for the common man, which they now perform with a live orchestra, I think is fantastic. They got a woman just pounding on a drum.
It's cool. Yeah.
Woman, by the way, the woman bass drum. Hello.
Yes. Come on the pod.
Her and Simone Biles.
They got the trumpet players in each corner taking turns. I think that that's a fantastic touch from Danny. He clearly understands our generation and what we like. So I do have to give him his kudos, even though he won't get us Chipotle.
No, he won't. ever.
And, are we still believing that Danny is Vintage Hawks?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of the clips now that they show in the pregame intro, it's all stadium highlights from the 80s and early 90s.
The kids need to know.
They just brush over.
If you showed a Gen Z kid a like a late 80s Hawks game, like a North Stars playoff game or something, they would fucking die in the first period. They would just drop dead. They'd be like, what am I watching? It's like the joke.
Larmer teeing up from the top of the rings.
Giving a Dorito to a peasant. They would just
blowing it past some goalie goaler standing 30 feet outside of his net.
John Casey, take a walk.
Ryan Poles is at the Bulls game sitting on the floor, by the way. They're showing him on TV right now. Yep.
Well, Ryan Poles is a large man. He's tough to miss.
He's a former offensive lineman. Yeah. He's a big dude.
He looks good.
Speaking of celebrities at the United Center last night, Andrew, I've saved this till we were live with the kids. But CM was in the house last night with
Sam.
Help me. Who was it?
Jey Uso.
Uso.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's they were in the house.
So
last
lame.
Night. And their female reporter, who used to be on ESPN, I believe.
Who's female reporter?
The WWE's. I can't remember her name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so and then it afforded me the opportunity to try to explain to John in 30 seconds why CM Punk wasn't in AEW anymore, and it wasn't possible.
Oh, that's going to be his own book and possibly movie at some point.
Was Phil wearing his $60 knockoff light in the box Chinese Duncan Keith jersey?
No, it looked like Phil was wearing a jersey the Hawks gave him. Because certainly Jey Uso had a jersey on that the Hawks gave him. So
I think he was wearing the same jersey that he wears in the pregame video.
In the pregame intro, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, John, that's not why we called.
No.
We were there for the Landon Slaggart game, almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually, I must say, he did not offend my sensibilities. He had made two really nice secondary assists on two out of the three goals.
Didn't he hit I had a game last night. Didn't he hit the bar and then they blew it dead and then because they thought it was back bar?
Well, the ref pointed it as a goal.
The ref pointed
and then
they
took a look at it and realized it wasn't even close to being a goal.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
What do you think of, I saw some stuff bandied about the other day on Nerd Stats Twitter about Dickinson having otherwise very good numbers.
I verified this. Dickinson and fucking Joey Anderson somehow have got like a 53 share together.
It's insane. Yeah.
So yeah, that's part of my big chunk of my notes here is that line. Slaggart was on that line, right? He was the right wing.
He's the straw that stirs the drink.
Yeah. And it really bothers me that Joey Anderson is actually playing kind of well now or well enough.
By the way, what the fuck is up with that family? His brother is Mikey Anderson on the Kings. Grow up.
We do have to keep in mind that they were playing the Flames, who had less interest in being there than Sam and me.
Hey, we were interested in being
Jey Uso. How about that?
Yeah, they were less interested than Jey Uso being there, that's for sure. Hope he didn't drive.
So, but with that said, Dickinson looks, I mean, that line.
Is he the type of guy that needs to be let know where the covert spots to pee are on Lake Street while you're leaving a game?
Possibly.
Definitely.
Not that I know anything about that.
And Joey Anderson had two nice primary assists.
He did.
That first one was beautiful. I mean, that was perfect.
Set up by Slaggart, though, who had drew two guys to him and then had a nice chip out of the zone and sprung the 2-on-1. And then even the pass from behind the net on the third goal to Dickinson was really nice. And Slaggart, Matt mentioned the one that he missed, that hit the crossbar and didn't even come close. The ref pointed as a goal, and they looked at it and said, oh, nope, sorry, kid. And then he also had a chance shorthanded where Markstrom just completely fell on his ass, and it was a wide-open cage, and the Flames defenseman came sliding back and stopped him from scoring. So he had good chances to pot his first one, and he didn't. And that would have been officially the Landon Slaggart game had he scored one of those two goals or both of them. And I don't know if his career would have ever gotten better than that. I think everybody probably would have inflated the expectations. That being said, I think Slaggart right now fine. You, if you think
he's on the team for next year,
yeah, he's on the team for next year. If you want to slot him on that Dickinson line, go for it. You won't get an argument from me at this point.
Get a real number, kid.
Based on playing a disinterested Flames team, and then whoever else they got coming up here.
Because he's a hashtag overager. He's only got what's left of this year and next year on his entry level, right? So they might as well fucking play him.
I will be in attendance for the Stars game next Saturday, so it's a better opponent. I'll have more notes from that.
If they're at home, then if Luke is getting matchy uppy, then we'll see. John's Landon Slaggart against my gorgeous half Filipino son. Then
I think that's a matchup problem, but we'll see.
That'll be a matchup problem, but thoughts on seeing Bedard live for the first time?
Oh, it's just a lot of fun. He's every bit as small and young as he looks on TV, but he is somehow toying with adults.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Once he hits puberty, he's really going to be something.
Yeah. He gets knocked off the puck too easily. He's going to have to turn himself into something of a fire hydrant.
I think he will. I don't have any question about it. He's so dedicated. He's insane. He's like
he's a robot.
Brainwashed little weirdo.
McKinnon caliber psychopath.
Indeed.
Yeah, he's like Chris Bryant, basically.
The discussion we were having last night, and you'll like this because this has always been a thing of yours. I don't know if this is something Bedard has to focus on or the Hawks will have to push him towards, but starting next year, Connor Bedard had better have Alex Ovechkin like shot per game numbers.
Yeah. There's no reason not to.
He's only averaging about 3 shots a game. That's got to be up around 6 or 7 for me.
I don't even think Ovi did when. Are we talking about on net or attempts?
Didn't he average like 5 or 6 on net during his peak?
Ovechkin, yeah. Ovechkin was like about 5.5.
Yeah, it's got to be around there.
You're absolutely right. That's a weapon. But like also, the kid is preternaturally good at getting his shot through the gap between the defender's stick, where it is traditionally positioned, and the leg. Like, rather than nutmegging or five-holing the D-man, he does the quick little toe drag. He's using a whip flex. I would not be surprised to learn, again, at 18 and generously 5'10". If he's using an intermediate, like, 65 flex on that fucking thing. But no, right, you're absolutely right, because that will make his passing even better, because people be more out. Like, it's the same thing that Kane had to learn coming off the half wall in the power play. You've got to shoot sometimes. And rookies, especially very, very young, barely 18-year-old rookies, tend to defer to veterans a little bit, even though they've got the ammo. They've got it in the holster.
He was. It's a little harder to do from center, but I think he can do it. Ovechkin regularly pushed 400 shots a year. He did put together a year of 528 shots on goal.
And what was his his shooting percentage that year? If you're looking right now.
10%.
Oh, wow.
He had 56 goals that year. And 10's low for him. That was low.
No, he's got to be, to use the NBA term, as long as I'm going to have to stick with my probably overreaching Steph Curry analogy, but he's going to have to be a volume shooter.
Indeed. The highlight of the game for me was third period. Bedard and Donato, I believe, broke in on a 2-on-1, and John loudly screamed, "Don't you dare pass that puck!"
I didn't say that loud.
It was pretty loud. It was a little louder than you thought.
Nothing will ever top fucking Brandon Bolla giving Kane the fucking beaver tail somehow on a break. Fuck you! Fuck you.
But, I mean, it is sort of hypnotic to watch Bedard find all the spaces that he does and weave his way into shooting spaces. He just needs to take advantage more of it.
And he needs to be shooting five hole. He's 18. He's a little bit too fixated on water bottle back bar shots. Five holes where it's at.
I don't care if his teammates eventually think he's selfish. you can't shoot the puck like he can. So until you can, shut
it's
up.
It's arguable that even at 18 years old, barely anyone who has ever lived has been able to shoot the puck like he can.
Right.
And I think it gets back to the other point. If you want him to shoot more, I think you need to also surround him with better players, because as they face better teams, you know, the teams like Dallas, they can just fixate completely on him and not worry about anybody else.
So I was having a particular thought the other day.
Uh-oh.
Ordinarily, we are loath to, with young prospects and everything, to have them play in games for free that don't matter for the club that is paying them. Where do we all stand with Bedard playing for Canada in the World Championships? I'd kind of like to. He's going, but like, I'd kind of like to see it, to see what it looks like with respectable NHLers. Like, I'll actually fucking tune in to it too, as fucking psycho as that sounds.
Yeah, I think it could be helpful just to remind him what it can look
like.
Well,
that and for scouting purposes for Kyle, like, to see where that coach throws him and what type of player he has success with, whether or not that specific player is available or not. Like, oh, he's with, you know, another Taylor Hall type, who's kind of a speedy power forward type. Like, you know, again, we've been saying pass first winger on him. Elias ain't coming here now, so it's still, we're still on Team right. Tabo, so.
So,
I have no issues with him playing at the World Championships. I think that's perfectly fine. It's not the World Juniors where it's you know,
against children. This is adults,
right? Where he's toying with morons. You know, this is like an actual step in his development.
And some of these fucking countries, take it extremely seriously.
Right. They're important games when he wouldn't be playing any games. So I don't think it can hurt at this stage of his development to play in that. Obviously, like 6 years down the road, you don't want him playing in it.
You don't want them not him being able to. You want them in the fucking playoffs that long.
Right. But at this point, I have no issue with him going to the World Championships.
Yeah, that's fine. Works for me. I hadn't thought about that angle. Good angle.
I'm an ideas guy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you come up with Fuck Mountain?
No, not quite.
Right. Did you have something else there, John? Was that one?
No, that was it.
That was it?
Yep.
Right.
Also, I got one thing that I want to vent about. This has been lingering for a while. Hawks-wise.
Yeah, one thought in, and now he's got now.
That could be literally anything.
Now the floodgates are open.
This has been in the group chat. Check the box on the bingo card, Killian. I'm so goddamn tired of these barely hanging on 30-year-old defensemen as Korchinski's partners taking chances when it should be him that's taking chances. He's covering for fucking Jason Smegma and fucking Zaitsev and whoever the fuck else. It's him that should be jumping in the play, not getting hung out to dry twice a game defending a 2-on-1 because they can't read a play because they're pinching badly. You should be playing center field for the kid, not trying to fucking earn a job here. Show, like, with your fucking offense that doesn't exist. Show you can be a safety net for the future. The fuck is the matter with you?
Well, he's not wrong.
You should be their agent.
Well, and the thing was, too, Korchinski looked the best for, like, that week where Luke had him paired with Seth Jones, and they used Vlasic and Murphy as the taking the dungeon shifts. And that's,
well, Murphy's not around. So
yeah. They say he might want to come back, or like, and in theory, granted, this is, again, this is a fucking hood ornament thing to have, but if you've got a legit unit, hope Boris isn't listening.
I don't know.
As for between Dickinson, Anderson, and Slaggart, and then Vlasic and Murphy behind them as someone you can throw out there for defensive zone draws, that does, in theory, make Bedard's life easier next year. So
I'm fixated on the image of Matt as an agent in contract negotiations. I kind of want to will it into existence now. Yeah, you're
look,
right.
You're right. That's and that's. I wish there was a way that they could hear you. It'd be very.
I'm curious what Kyle will do in the coming years, because there's never going. I don't think there's ever going to become a time where Bedard is a number one center that can do everything for you. He's going to be a pure scoring center. And if you go
his,
back,
well, his possession numbers will be a function of offense. And like in theory, even if he's not, if he's underwater possession wise, right. Like Kane was all the time, he'll outscore those metrics.
But you go back through recent cup winners and it's Eichel, it's McKinnon, Point or Stamkos, Crosby, that type of even Taves, if we're going back that far, these are number one centers that you toss out in every situation, in every zone. I don't think Bedard's ever going to be that. So they're going to have to construct the roster in a way where their second and third centers can make up for that.
Have you considered they'll just somehow win the lottery again and get the number one pick?
They could. Absolutely. Or maybe Bedard ends up on a wing. I used to think that would be terrible. I still would not like to see it. The center's just so much more valuable to have.
Well, but he could be on the inverse Iginla plan where he doesn't take the draws, but he's actually playing right. The center position. But again, he's not going to want to be like staying in someone's hip pocket.
Yeah, that's
not... and Luke's not. Luke had said right from fucking Jump Street, like, he's not trying to tamp down whatever creative vision he has on there. Like he's gonna let the boy go because there's. Like,
let the boy watch.
Deep in my plums. So yeah, like just, Luke's not going to go all Quenville on him and say offense starts at your right. own hash marks kind of shit. So
you know, just draft Iginla's kid. That's what I'm looking at the draft.
Yeah, well, that's
just,
fine.
Just do that.
It's just over the next 2 years or so, I'll be curious to see how Kyle. Either through trades, drafting, development, whatever, like is Frankie No-Nos gonna be the guy who can make up for that? Not sure.
Probably not.
Oliver Miller. Not
so
sure.
you're looking at more of a. Granted, they only won one cup with it, but Krejci was your scoring center, and then Bergeron did literally everything else.
Right. Yeah. That's basically what I'm looking at. And remember, yes, they only won one cup. They were within inches of winning three. So that would be fine. But it's worth noting.
Well, inches within winning two, and then that fucking rat-faced goddamn weasel just gave up on a play. Fraud. Don't care. Put it on my fucking tombstone.
I will. Happily. All right. Well, before we got to let John go, it's opening day tomorrow. Slack, do you want a Cubs Nook?
No, I'm ready to roll.
You all good?
Yep.
All ready for Justin Steele to take the bump against the defending champs?
Taking the over in that game, Sam.
Who's pitching for the Rangers anyway?
It doesn't matter. There's going to be like 30 runs scored probably.
And John, you want one more opportunity to sell the kids and the Sox being competitive?
No, I said it in an episode. I think it was our last one. I think they're going to be better than people expect. I think Vegas has it set. They're over under at 61 wins, which
that's
was
very
I think,
low.
Yeah, that's what they did last year.
It's extremely low in a terrible
and they were
division.
They were unwatchable last year at 61 wins. I think, and Matt can maybe back me up on this, but every year, every Sox season, when they go in with absolutely no expectations, they're not as bad as people expect, and they're somewhat watchable. To the point,
there are plenty of known knowns on this bad roster, though. It's not like the kids can play. Like, we didn't know what Maglio was going to be. We know who all these fucking bums are.
Well, give Chris
I don't
Getz
know that there's necessarily
here.
The only if bums you... that I see are in the middle of the infield and behind the plate. Everybody else, I think, is
kind of important, if they John.
Stay healthy, but they can pick up the ball. That's the difference.
Well, if you hated last year's roster, there's literally one guy on the team from last year.
Well, two, Benintendi and Vaughn.
Sorry, I mean, there's a couple, but my point is they changed a lot of people, which, you know, not with good people. But
again, however you want to revise Your win total. I'm taking the under. However low you think you want to go. If you want to go straight up Vegas, like I'll still take the under on fucking 61.
I think, and the other thing too that's different than years past is that this is the first spring training that they've come out of where Eloy didn't die, where Mancada is not having, you know, his vertebrae sticking out of his skin,
Tim Roth in that Edward Norton Hulk movie.
Right. And the Panther is still roaming around in center. So, you know, it's
yeah,
just,
but Peter Griffin's a fucking moron.
Yes, of course he is. But I just think that it's not going to be as bad. And Sam brought up their pitching staff. Here's what I'll say about their pitching staff. They seem to love Brian Bannister and whatever he's doing.
Well, he was a Royal. Lab. Is he telling them not to honk off?
No, he was with the Giants. So he was with the Giants. He is a former Royal. As a player. But as a coach, he was with the Giants previously. And Sam is trying to talk me about Logan Webb. Nobody was honking off to Logan Webb until he got into Brian Bannister's pitch lab. So all I'm saying is that I think that that's what they're basing the pitching staff around, is that they're going to go into this laboratory of Brian Bannister's, and they're going to come out of it and they're going to be spinning velocity, and then they're going to have guys who can pick up the ball and not trip all over each other when it goes up in the air. So I just think it's not going to be as unpleasant as last year. That's all.
As long as you're happy, I'm happy.
Well, I'm not happy, but I'm just saying it's not going to be.
He's not happy.
You're going in with a little more of an open mind than maybe some people, and that's okay.
Yeah, but even if you watch now, it's got to be muted.
Oh, 100%.
That guy is a horror show. That is some of the worst shit I've ever heard.
I think Steve Stone is going to be calling up Hawk to see if he wants to come back. That's how bad it's going to get. Yeah.
See if he wants to drive in from Fort Worth or wherever the hell it is he lives.
Hold on there, Stone Pony. I'm shooting nine with Terry Hanley down at Romeoville Country Club.
He was driving in from South Bend, I believe.
No, I thought he was like New Buffalo, Michigan. Like I thought.
No, he's like way deep in Indiana. He's like 2 hours away.
Yeah, it wasn't on the border. It wasn't like
it wasn't on the border. It was like fucking
because of crime.
That's why he only did the road games when they split it up, because he could that way he'd only drive once to O'Hare instead of driving. Yeah, or Midway, whatever the Sox plane takes off, and then you'd have to do it like every day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's like 2 hours away. It's like ridiculous. It's not even like Hammond.
It's insane. Yeah. When I found out that that's what he was doing, I just
not even in Dammondale country.
No, not even.
No,
not
past Dammondale country.
Way past Dammondale country.
Where's Purdue? Purdue's West Lafayette, right?
Yeah, it's like there.
I'm pretty sure he's closer to South Bend than West Lafayette.
He might be.
Yeah.
My God.
that's my Sox nook. For you, Sam.
Okay, Sox nook.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as bad. I think Peter Griffin.
Sox baseball. Not as bad as you think.
Yeah. I think Peter Griffin is a complete dope, as Matt mentioned.
Peter Griffin. I just figured out who you're talking about.
He lives in Granger between South Bend and Elkhart.
That's there out go. There.
He lives in a Granger?
He's away in a Granger.
All right. Do we have any cretins that John needs to answer before we let him go?
Yeah, I had a cretin question that texted me, so I got to read
that. Okay, let's do that.
For the gang. Hold on. Let me pull it up here. All right. After listening to Whiteham and Pang last night, what planet can we fire Chris Bosters to? I'll answer that. I found out over the weekend that there's a Marky Mark dwarf planet, so that's where I would ship Bosters to.
Wow. Who's going to top that? Nobody.
You gotta tell us who that's from, John.
Oh, that's from Billy. He was a guy that I believe used to buy tickets off of you, Sam, but a family friend. So it's full circle.
Good. So all right.
Okay, we'll stick with all of John's peeps here. Crypto Farcoin. How many offensive coordinators do you think Caleb will play for during his stint as Bears QB?
Oh, come on.
That's pretty good.
That's bleak. Too bleak.
I'll set the over under at 3.5.
I'll take the over.
What did Cutler have?
10.
No.
You tell Mike I said fuck him.
Tice, Turner.
Tice.
Mike's, someone else?
Kramer.
Cromer. Yeah, Cromer, the one who cried. Crying Cromer.
So that's four?
Aaron Kreimer.
I think it was four.
No, because then the guy who left to be the coach of the Dolphins.
Gase.
Yeah, five.
And then whoever replaced Gase.
Fucking whack job.
Okay, here's the thing about Caleb Williams and offensive coordinators. If he's good, the offensive coordinator will get a head coaching job somewhere.
Yeah, he's going to turn him over naturally.
So it doesn't.
Stevenson High School's finest, Bobby Slowick, did opted out this year.
He didn't like his choices, which, you know, good for him.
Good for him.
Good for the tuna.
I don't know what the average coordinator amount for most QBs is.
Well, Mahomes has already technically played for like three or four, right? Even though it's just one.
There you go.
It
could be anything.
Andy.
Yeah, so it could be anything. It's going to be a lot. Buckle up.
I don't want your big box of porn, Andy.
All right, I think we've already kind of answered this, but this is John's wheelhouse. Kevin McTitty is the handle. Is Landon Slaggart a player that could be serviceable in the future? I think we've said maybe, sure, why not?
Yeah, possibly. Play the Flames every game.
Tits McGee is on vacation.
You know, John, you saying that reminds me of something when somebody goes like...
Kevin McTitty?
I think that was that guy's best wrestling match I've ever seen. It's like, he wrestled with Brian Danielson. Of course it was.
You're right, yeah, exactly. That's generally how it works.
You play the Flames, you're going to look fucking good. That's
you play these Flames are they looked good.
Well, who'd they play?
A sorry bunch.
Yeah.
All right. Got another fun one here while we're Hawks-centric. About all the former Hawks who seem to be thriving elsewhere, Strome, Forsling, Van Riemsdyk et al., is it because they didn't have enough time to bake here, or is it because the coaches misused them? Yes.
It was Colleton, was it not?
Yeah.
Forsling was Quenneville.
Forsling was Quenneville.
For the possession factory that is Carolina, even they had no use for Forsling. So
Forsling was just bad here.
Well, he was also like 19 when they brought him up, and
it was just bad
vibes, bad juice.
I mean, I still would say Strom is incredibly one-dimensional, and the Hawks could never see past that.
Also, it is hilarious that the Caps are minus 25 goal differential
right.
and ahead of the goddamn Red Wings by 2 points with a game in hand in the standings.
Long may it continue. Go Caps!
Go Caps!
All Caps, and Ovi's within 50 of Gretzky now.
Yeah, so I mean, I think Strome is probably still what he was here. They just
have to find not necessarily the talent. It has to be the particular situation, you know.
And they weren't interested in finding that because through two GMs and two coaches, or whatever. They just wanted players who did everything, and not every player does everything. They were still blinded by how good they had it with the cup-winning teams, where they could kind of put anyone in any situation.
Yeah, it's very rare.
That's how they think all teams should work, and that's not how it works.
Like, you could just put Jonathan Toews on the fourth line on the road in Boston, and no, they lost that game.
They lost. Like, they didn't lose the series,
but overall, they got away with it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, John, we have to let you go.
No, I got a couple more minutes here.
All right. What's next?
All right. Mark Yasudas.
Flying Yasudas, brother.
Are Sam's Oilers looking at another early exit in the playoffs?
Depends on who they play. Oilers?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, they were John's Oilers when Sam Gagner was there, but now... Or is he back there again?
What's defined as an early exit? First round?
I think anything less than Western Conference Finals is probably a disappointment with McDavid's prime.
If they get the Kings in the first round, no. They get Vegas in the first round, yikes. Like, so that's what I'll say.
With the cheating ass Mark Stone.
Hey, nothing we didn't see here.
Nope, go for it. And then with the other Yasudas, this is an interesting
both
one. Yeah, sure, why not? We're ripping through them. It's the lightning round to get John out of here in a timely manner. Has Luke shown enough to stick around to see how this eventually shakes out? Has the league run out of upgrade coaches somewhere out there that could be brought in for a team that's ready? Ron Wilson's is still out there waiting for a job.
Luke has definitely earned the right to see this to at least point B.
When they start giving him a roster that they think could get to point B.
When they start giving him an NHL roster, I'll make him a final judgment.
Yeah.
Again, we're pro Luke around here. Luke is probably the most straightforward and forthright with the media. John Cooper overshares and is a weirdo, but still has plenty to say. And Tortorella always has plenty to say, but he's angry. But Luke, actually, doesn't treat the press like imbeciles and doesn't treat it like it's fucking state secrets out there. It's all there on the ice for you. So
yeah, what I'm looking for next year is more of an NHL roster and the top four defense. And I want to see if Luke has them defending a little more aggressively than they do this year.
I'd like to be able to see at least some situations where it's worth his fucking energy to try and line match a little bit.
Right. But it hasn't been yet, so we don't know.
Because, yeah, he could be of the fucking Gabby philosophy of, yeah, fuck it, go get him. So.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's probably about it.
Okay, then.
All right.
Well, bit of a shorter one. Lightning round. But we like it efficient. So we'll be back. We'll be back at some point. We don't know. But for Slack, for John, for Matt, I'm Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. If I make it to next week, we'll be here. Till then, top guys out.